We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. It's week 40-something. We lost track, but one day I'll count them all up and get back on pace. Today, though, we have a special guest host, Marcus Vanderberg, Yahoo Sports editor extraordinaire.
Dre left town. We didn't plan it this way. You found out over the weekend. I was coming to Vegas. He was leaving Vegas. So, you know, it worked out.
No, that's good. That's good. It's nice to have someone in the chair who is not going to insult me.
Well, hold on. The show's early. It's been a minute in. I'll find something to insult you about. Come on.
Oh, man. I had enough of that over the weekend. You say once on a show 7 months ago that Frankie Edgar doesn't do it for you, and the entire UFC media room doesn't let you live it down.
That's not as bad as Patrick Cummins, though. That one, I don't fault you for that one.
I'm going to take the L on Patrick Cummins.
You got to take the L, man.
Yeah, that was just that. In hindsight, bad picks. No Patrick Cummins picks from me in 2016.
Right. There
I don't
you
care
go.
Who he fights.
There you go.
So we had a huge UFC weekend. We've had a great wrestling weekend, in my opinion. Other people don't share this, and we'll get into that. But first, I wanted to kind of touch on something else. We don't have boxing to talk about today, so we kind of had an empty segment. And I've been indulging in Ratchet TV.
Oh, no.
Ratchet TV, man.
No.
It got
me. I blame Andreas.
Yo, he watches it all the time,
I know.
Too. And he tries to front, like, oh, my wife watches it, and she makes me. No. He loves the Ratchet TV. And then now I'm, like, knee-deep in it.
So what are you watching?
Love and Hip Hop New York debuted yesterday. So it has the usual cast of characters. There's a chick, Amina Butterfly. Yes, her last name is Butterfly. And she has a lisp, which lisps are so sexy to me. I don't care. What about
Jack Swagger's lisp?
No, not Jack Swagger's right. lisp. Women with lisp are sexy to me. Amina Butterfly does it. I also like imperfect teeth, which brings me to the next person on the show who is just the best, and that is Cardi B. Cardi B from the Bronx. She was a stripper. She is no longer a stripper. She's like an Instagram.
She's a reformed stripper turned Instagram model?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Well, no. She just kind of shakes her butt on Instagram and does semi-motivational videos for ratchet hood women. So I guess she's an Instagram motivational speaker.
Wow.
She has 2 million followers, though.
Whoa.
I'm sure she gets paid as an influencer, so she is making bread. She hosts stuff in clubs. And now she's on Love & Hip Hop, and she's super ratchet, and she Millie rocks on any block. And, she's New York wrapped up into one amazingly beautiful ratchet package.
So we were in the hotel room last night, and the wife was watching this, and Ratchet TV, I can't do it, Joe. I can't do it, man. No, I can't do it. I was on in the background. She did point out, I saw something on TMZ, who's the dude doing the jail?
Oh, man, DC.
Yeah, so I saw that on TMZ, and I knew she watches that stuff. So I sent her a text and said, hey, homeboy's going to jail. So I saw that scene where he was talking to his woman about, you know, going away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's who that dude is. What does he do?
He doesn't do much of anything. He ran with, like, Joel Santana for a second.
Never a good thing.
Nah, he was, like, some type of manager.
Okay.
Roadie type.
And what did he get in trouble for?
He was selling a lot of drugs on the side.
Ooh, okay.
A lot of them were.
All right.
He got caught. He looks like a nice fellow, too, unassuming. You would never assume. He was selling
sort of
a lot
like
of drugs.
The only ratchet stuff I would say that I watch is The Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay, yeah.
And it reminds me sort of Apollo.
You said it like, oh, it's mildly ratchet. No, like, that's the highest end of the ratchet spectrum.
But that's high-quality ratchet. That's, like, ratchet stuff you'd watch with, like, white people and not feel, like, embarrassed.
No, they're embarrassed, too. I mean, okay, I'll give it to you. The cast has some ratchet white people. So they feel as embarrassed as you do for the ratchet.
That's a good point.
So that's the only reason. There's no white people on Love & Hip Hop New York.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
All those shows are ratchet. For some reason, one year I got conned into watching like Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
It's all white women. They're ratchet too. They're fighting. They're throwing drinks.
And here's the other thing. As Dre's mentioned on the show, he's worked at BET. I worked at BET. We both hated BET. BET did such a bad rap for their programming. But VH1, the stuff they're showing on the network, it's just as offensive as anything you see on BET, but no one's protesting VH1. It's all Viacom. It's all the same family.
Yeah, I mean, Mona Scott Young is a genius. She's pimping the system.
She's pimping our people.
That is it, yo. I swear to God, she wakes up every day, checks Black Twitter. And it's like, you guys are making me rich.
Yeah.
Who's the next person I can pimp? And she found Cardi via Black Twitter and Instagram. And Cardi doesn't have a real body part left on her, but it's amazing. And she can't speak English to save her life. Like, she's never seen an English class, ever. Like, she stopped seventh grade English.
Oh,
she had
to.
But it's marvelous.
And she said she's from the Bronx?
Yeah, yeah, she's from the Bronx.
Yeah, those are your people.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
I claim Mount Vernon, I don't claim the Bronx.
Yo, I'm loving it. She's, like, deep in the Bronx, too. Deep.
Oof.
Yeah, like the Heights.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, straight uptown. She is amazing. So, shout out to Cardi B. I would love to get her on the show.
Is she your new bae? Does she replace Sasha Banks?
No, no, no.
No?
You know, I am looking for a bae of 2016.
What happened to Sasha?
Sasha's still there. Every year I kind of like to refresh, though. She's getting played out. Everyone's trying to claim her as bae. You know, everyone knows Sasha was bae number one in my heart. But now she's blowing up too much. I need to find a new bae.
Right.
So I'm looking. Everyone who's listening to the show, send me your ideas for bae. I mentioned it today on Twitter. Nia Jax is looking all right to me. People sleeping on Nia Jax. Listen, I'm 220 pounds. I can handle all of Nia Jax. She could be bae.
She's probably 220 pounds.
She might be. She might be. But there's like some big fine hive or something on Twitter right now.
Really?
Yeah, they're gaining steam. I don't know. There might be other people more in tune with this section of Twitter.
Hmm.
But yeah, there's like a big fine movement, I guess.
Interesting.
Of like really thick chicks. So Nia Jax could be like their face.
She seems like a really cool chick. Like when she's not in the ring, she just seems like she'd be a normal...
Nah,
down to earth.
Definitely. Her outfit is horrible, though. They let her wrestle.
And they shouldn't let her talk either.
No. She's getting better, though. She's Roman.
She's that Roman Reigns syndrome.
She just started, though. Roman's like 4 years in.
Well,
there's no excuse for Roman.
What does that say about the champ?
We'll get to that later. So let's talk a little bit about UFC then, since we're jumping around. Actually, wait. I jumped past something else I want to talk about. See? This is what Andreas does on the show. He jogs my memory because it is horrible. I saw you tweet about something. I want to talk to you specifically about it. Sports Person of the Year.
Oh, yes.
I saw you comment on this and knew you were going to be on the show today. And I was like, oh, man, Marcus has to tell us about this. So Serena wins it.
Correct.
People are up in arms. Why is there controversy at all about Serena winning this? She almost swept everything.
I think the controversy really is just coming from the horse racing community. American Pharoah.
Is this a community?
There's a community.
Something?
There's a horse racing community.
Okay.
They only get noticed probably 6 weeks of the year, but there's a community. And basically, SI, Sports Person of the Year, the definition is technically best athlete or team. Now, you can make the case that American Pharoah is considered an athlete. It does the work more than the jockey, I would say.
So it's not Sports Person of the Year.
It is, but if you actually read the definition of how they describe it, it's open to an athlete or a team. Because you would say, it says sports person, but if the Kansas City Royals won it, you know, see, it just kind of confusing. So this all started because SI ran a reader poll, and they listed all 12 nominees, wide variety of people. I think Serena might have finished dead last or near last. But finished first in the reader poll was American Pharoah. So the LA Times posed the question once they announced on Monday that Serena actually won, who actually should win, American Pharoah or Serena Williams? And this really upset a lot of people because they felt the LA Times was comparing Serena Williams to an animal, which was not their intention. I mean, I posted on Facebook last night that I was sort of trolling people that I said, hey, look, I think American Pharoah, I would have voted for American Pharoah. First time in 38 years he won Triple Crown. Had a great year. What Serena did was great, notwithstanding, but let's not remember, Serena did end her major career this season with a loss, a crushing loss.
That was her only loss of the year.
But it was like a Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey type, who is this woman upsetting Serena type loss.
She still went for the Serena slam, though.
She did, but it's not so much a knock on Serena. It's more of what the horse did. I mean, we haven't seen a Triple Crown winner in almost 40 years.
Does the horse have feelings? This is what I woke up to. I was like, man, this is really a debate. I was like, if you walk up to both of them today and you say, hey, Serena, you came in second to a horse, her feelings would be hurt. If you walk up to the horse and say, hey, you came in second to Serena, I don't think he knows what's going on.
You never know, man.
There.
Horses are smart. You never know.
Does he get extra hay for winning this?
He might. Extra horse loving?
Of
you never know.
No, I don't think they miss out on much. The horse is okay. The horse is doing horse things. He doesn't know. He's at the trough. He's chilling.
Did you see, like, the horse did issue, like, a congratulations to Serena? Oh, it was in a video. That's that basically, nice. Yeah, horse has class.
Yes.
Classy horse.
That's not bad. The horse is a better loser than Ronda Rousey.
And Serena, because Serena is not a good loser either. Could you imagine if Serena lost to the horse?
Oh, slander on the horse all day.
Yeah. But I was sort of trolling because I feel like we're in a situation here where, as a black person, I'm entitled to, like, root for all things Serena because she's black. And I don't, you know,
correct.
Have to.
I mean, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, so I was trying to find someone to hook on the bait, but it didn't work, so.
It's still very odd, though. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of people want you to be like, how dare you?
How dare you
But
not
I think the
support...
horse is, like, brown-skinned.
Hey.
I mean, at that point, you're torn.
I know, it's that...
It's an ethnic
horse. I was going to say, who has the better hair, the horse or Serena? But...
Oh, the horse might be winning.
Yeah.
Serena does have legs like a thoroughbred. I'll give her that. They're built extremely similar. It's not.
See? That's why she's probably getting in trouble. Comparing animals to black women.
Listen, man. I'm just saying. I know it might not be politically correct, and I haven't had the best like track record with Serena Williams on this podcast.
No.
Because I say she doesn't do it for me. So people.
Listen,
I
agree with you that one.
I
don't. I mean, she's not ugly, but she's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, she's not ugly.
Yeah.
She's not for me.
Yeah.
That's where I stand. But, you know, she won. She beat a horse out. I don't think the horse is complaining. So I had to touch on that. Like, it was an odd thing. And if a horse in general could win Sports Person of the Year, I was very confused by that.
I'm surprised. Well, I look bad. No animal has won Sports Person of the Year.
Because it clearly says person.
It does. But the fact that SI even threw it in there, it makes you wonder, like, well, it was up for the award. It was one of the 12 official nominees.
Somebody trolled from, like, the base level.
So it could have won.
Yeah.
But.
Someone was trolling from the get-go. Like,
they tried.
Watch.
It worked.
And they flooded the ballots
worked,
of, like,
yeah.
fan votes. They're like, yeah, we're going to get it. It was trolling at its greatest. All right. So now we're finally at UFC stuff. Obviously, you being an editor at Yahoo saw all of the stuff flood in this weekend. You're probably nauseous with all of the stuff you had to edit via UFC from a three-night I guess we
Well, luckily, I sat this one out. Yeah,
this.
I did it in July, and fight weekend in July is a lot, and I couldn't imagine doing that again in December, so I sat and watched from home.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, you weren't here. I'm surprised they didn't email you stuff to edit.
Yeah, no.
No, you took nice
I was busy.
Off.
I was busy doing baseball stuff.
Oh, congratulations on that, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
Everyone who doesn't know, Marcus is now editor of
Major League Baseball
Major League
for
baseball.
Yahoo Sports.
Which is great. Huge baseball fan, right?
Yes, huge baseball fan. And it's a sport that lacks diversity not only on the field but also in the press box. So the fact that there is a black editor is a good thing, I think. So.
It is amazing. I mean, I feel like almost every sport lacks diversity in the press box.
NBA is pretty good, I will tell you.
Oh, that's true. I covered the finals. It's perfectly fine.
NBA covered. NFL...
I mean,
not awful,
NBA,
but
what we got like 80% of the athletes are black,
and
or
it feels like 50% of the media members,
yeah,
are black. So,
I mean,
yeah,
we're catching up, but yeah. it is what it is. NFL is far, far fewer than
NFL
that.
Is far, and actually, combat. What do you think about combat sports and diversity? Because you're there all the time.
Yeah, we have this podcast because of combat sports and diversity, and it's because there's three black people mostly at every event.
Shout out to Dave.
Yeah, and we got. Sat next to each other, and that's how the story goes. So, yeah, Schaller walked by, and he was laughing about it. He was like, hey. We're like, yeah, Dave, we know
yeah.
what happened
Yeah,
here.
We know
what's
yeah, going
see
on.
You. And that's how, like, me and Andre started talking, and lo and behold, we got a podcast that's going right now. So
I will say real quick, if you're a up-and-coming journalist or someone who's trying to get into media, look into sports like the UFC because there is opportunity for minorities, and you don't see a lot of us covering these sports. And you can vouch for it. It's just as fun as any other sport you've covered, probably. And you can make a living at it.
Man, it's probably my favorite sport to cover. And I'm one of the few, I guess, in combat sports that really branch out and cover other things.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you know, because of the site I work at, BSO, I have the initiative and the leeway to go and cover other things. I really don't have that ceiling, really. I don't have to have a beat, necessarily. I do, but I can do other things. And I'm respected enough to do so. So I got to cover the NBA Finals. I can go and do an NFL playoff game or go to a bowl game or covering the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And cover it every year. So I get to kind of branch out and see other sports and cover sports in different realms and get that experience. But yeah, UFC is probably my favorite thing to cover. There's nothing like the atmosphere. There's a huge like sense of camaraderie just between media in the back. It's funny. We called it the cafeteria when we went this week because it's like, man, it's just like a high school lunchroom. We come in, you have like your little clique kind of, but everyone's cool. And
everyone's
we all
cool.
Sit together.
Everyone's pretty helpful, pretty friendly. I would say Boxing Media is similar as well. It's the higher that you get with boxing media, there's a little more cattiness, I would say.
They're just
a little more egos.
It's just older.
Yeah,
it's a
that is true.
Divide now in boxing, and there's a huge age gap because I'm always in the lower end of the spectrum age wise. But in the UFC, everyone is kind of younger, and the sport is so young that it doesn't matter. The people who've been covering it for 10 years are probably 37.
Yeah.
So I can still relate and talk to them. Another joke me and Andreas was making, because Kevin Ioli from Yahoo's there, pumping out stories.
Of course, like, he's a machine.
Guy, that guy is crazy. So he was there, and he did like 7 stories one day, and he was talking to us, and then he walked away, and we're like, man, Kevin's like the godfather around here, because he's like the only one in that age bracket, and he's outworking all of us, man. That guy is crazy.
He's very much the mayor between boxing and MMA events. The fighters talk to him, the media members talk to him. PR talks to him. He's just like the ambassador for both sports.
Yeah, he's great. So like, there's not that big of an age gap in UFC and combat sports in general. But when you come to like boxing, there's a lot of people who've been covering it for 30, 35 years, 40 years. I mean, there's people who've seen Ali fight and, you know, some of the greats and everything up and through there. So it's crazy. But they're super respectful and nice. But there is that divide. And sadly, we're in the age of bloggers and just blogs in general, and newspapers have come and gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just a hint of bitterness more than cattiness. And there's new faces. And it takes a while, I'm not going to lie, for young journalists, you know, trying to break into stuff. And a lot of people, it's really easy to sit at home right now and just write from your computer and be faceless. I made it a point. I wasn't going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to be a blogger. And people say, no disrespect, I don't care. Take it how you want to take it. I'm not a blogger. Like, man, I'm a journalist. I can write for wherever. I can write from the smallest blog. I can write for the biggest website. I'm going to write how I write. I'm going to be professional. I'm a journalist through and through. I'm going to cover things. I'm not going to sit on my couch and just recap stuff.
Yeah.
This is the message difference. Boards. And so when I stepped in, I asked questions at press conferences. I messed up. I learned. I got better. And there's... thankfully, the UFC that allowed me to do that and then gave me the confidence to do it in other places. So I can ask questions on ESPN to LeBron James at the finals and not feel uncomfortable, because I do it to Dana White all the time. I talk to John Jones. It made me comfortable. And there's a lot of people who don't have that initiative, who don't go out there and are comfortable with just being bloggers. So I think the older people in boxing are very wary of that. You have to prove yourself.
Yeah, you do.
You just can't be a keyboard gangster, show up, get a credential, or be Mayweather's friend, which happens, or Mayweather's cousin. And they give credentials to a lot of random people in boxing. And you can get it in if you want it in, but you're going to be out really fast if you don't prove yourself.
Yeah.
So that's really the thing that I noticed. And some of the other major sports are like that too, man. College football, all these sports are fraternities. You got to really pay your dues, show that you're worth something, and then you'll become comfortable and people will notice you. And your work speaks for itself. So it's all in how you carry yourself. And, you know, minorities, we have to try a little harder when we get in the door.
We do, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's the way that it is. My first event that I covered for BSO, I went and I had maybe a button-up shirt, but it was open with a shirt underneath. And I had my hat on, because I always used to wear my hat.
Uh-huh.
And I walked into the media room with my hat before I took it off, but I picked up my credential with my hat on. And I took like a little picture up the escalators in the MGM. And the editor at BSO, owner, editor-in-chief, everything, Robert Latow, hit me up like immediately. And he was just like, you're never going to another event if you dress like that.
He was like, go to H&M, go to JCPenney, go to Burlington, go wherever you got to go. Go to Ross. Mm-hmm. He was like, but you're going to dress differently and you're going to carry yourself a certain way. And this is how you got to do it. And I remember my response, and stupid and being 23. I mean, looking back, it was pretty idiotic. But I was just like, but I saw this other guy in a hat, and then he had a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay. They don't dress like this here. And he says, no, you dress like this everywhere. And he said, because people aren't looking at them the way they look at you, and they look at us. And I was like, man. And I've dressed overly impressive, I guess, every time. Now, at least, like, during the week, I don't go, like, polo all the time. I might rock, like, a T-shirt every now and then. But I make sure every big event, every fight night, I'm dressed. I'm, you know, well-spoken, clean-cut, try to present myself in the best manner. And I'm still got a way to go. I need to just, you know, get my suit game up, suit up a little bit. But
yeah, I'm not there yet either. Don't feel bad. Yeah, I'm 32, yeah. So.
You know, I still go jeans. I'm not in the slacks area.
Well,
you never
go in
shoes.
You also live in Las
Vegas
too, so yeah, it's like
I'm never going shoes ever. Like I'll be like Ariel Helwani for Fox Sports, and I'll rock Jordans with everything.
His sneaker game is nice.
Yo, his sneaker collection is ill. So that I won't budge on because shoes just kill my feet. But outside of that, man, there's truth to that, and you got to work hard. You got to work hard. It takes a while to break in to these industries, but once you get that first shot, you got to make the most of it. I could tell stories about that all day, though. It's crazy. I almost got blackballed by the UFC once.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Not just it's you, but just because I've heard stories about the UFC, sort of.
Yeah. Before, also, which is why I guess this is a good podcast for young journalists. We got nothing but time. Yeah. Which is why when you get there, don't be shy. Be assertive. You know, do your homework. Always ask a question at a presser. Make sure your presence is known and people know your face. Introduce yourself to the PR people.
Yes, that's very
Introduce yourself to
helpful.
Other journalists. Yeah, you know, just make sure your face is known. Because I covered my first out of Las Vegas event in Denver. It was a UFC. And I flew in for a day or whatever. I didn't think anything of it. Had a hotel for one night. Caught a taxi there, came back after the show, left my credential in the taxi, didn't really care.
Uh-oh.
Flew home. It was after the show, so I was like, whatever.
Okay.
Flew home, it was fine. And then I got home, and then they denied me for the next event in Vegas. And remember, like, I went through, hit up PR and everything. I was like, what's going on? And they had said that I did something inappropriate at that event out of town. And I was like, that's not me. And then they're like, oh, let me see your credential. Where were you sitting? And I was like, yo, I don't have my credential anymore. So now I keep every credential that I ever have. And now I take pictures of it next to Mega Man just in case it's lost. And that's the story of my Mega Man pictures for every event. But it so happens that after like a month of digging around, they mistaked me for another black guy who was covering
stuff.
I was
about to say, how many black dudes are there that were acting up at this event?
There was just one, and they thought it was me. And then it happened to not be. I got back in the door. They know me. They know I'm not stupid now. And yada, yada, yada.
Was he your boy in Texas?
It was not.
Oh, okay. All right.
Lord Jesus. They did blackball him. But it's just crazy to know, like, man, if I would have just spoke up, if I would have shook a few hands, if I would have asked the question at the presser, they would have saw me or they would have recognized me or just heard my name. So little stuff like that matters. And you go through ups and downs, but as long as your work is there, and you know the quality of it, and that's what's really key right now. And I mean, you've probably seen way more than me. I mean, you are.
I've been around.
Yeah, you are up there, in the journalism world.
Yeah, in terms of advice, definitely, networking is key, and definitely lean on other journalists, because especially if you come into a sport you're not familiar with, there are people there like Kevin Ioli who's covered everything. I think he's missed, since he's been covering boxing, MMA in Las Vegas, he's missed maybe like 5 events total. Total.
Crazy.
And it's just, he's like a resource information. So lean on people, other journalists. Lean on other PR people, like you mentioned. I find the PR people at UFC pretty friendly, pretty helpful. Don't cross them, though. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
They'll cut you if they need to.
That's in every realm. I mean, Dave doesn't play.
Kelly Swanson in boxing.
Oh, is, Kelly.
Oh, God. Don't get on Kelly's bad side. She is the nicest woman, but if you cross her, you'll never see another event again.
It's crazy. Yeah, I won't share any Kelly Swanson stories, but she can make a Mayweather cry if she needs to. Boxing meet is really weird, I find, because it's a lot more, and this is from the PR aspect, it's a lot more, I would say, what's the right word so I don't get in trouble?
That is key.
You'll run into more issues in boxing, I feel, in terms of like access.
There's a lot more chefs in a kitchen, though.
Yes.
Like, it's not an organization.
Because it's the mostly NFL, the fighter sometimes. I mean, you saw this with Mayweather-Pacquiao. With Mayweather and the whole credential gate situation, a lot of confusion about where that was coming from, if that was Mayweather's camp, if that was HBO or whoever, but there's a lot more people involved, so you might run into more issues covering a sport like boxing compared to UFC, where you know it's pretty much Dana White, the Fertittas, they're running the show. If they don't like you, you're not getting credential.
It's as simple
sorry,
as that.
Sorry, you know. But yeah, I definitely, if you're interested, I mean, if you're actually interested in getting into business, hit me up on Twitter, man. I'm always looking to, like, advise young people at Marco Will, MarcoWillo. It's definitely having more people who like us, me and you, in press rooms is a good thing.
No, definitely. And I tell anyone who will listen, man, I've become such a better journalist, worker, everything this past year. Just because I know you guys.
Yeah.
So we laugh, we joke, we do all that stuff. But I learn a lot. Just, you know, how to be professional, how to conduct myself, you know, at events, away from events, on social media.
Social media is another one. Oh, man.
Yeah, just how to do all of that and make it work for you and be professional in all aspects. I just sat down with friend of the podcast, and he was also a guest host, Ryan McKinnell. Sat down at his house maybe like 6 weeks ago. And we're just chilling, watching football, watching his Bears lose, and eating food and everything. And the conversation takes off. And I ask him, I was like, man, I've been reading your pieces. And I've just been experimenting with different ways of writing since reading like your pieces in UFC Magazine and all this stuff. And reading Andreas Hale and just seeing how it just looks at major publications. Like Yahoo, since they've been writing at Yahoo and just seeing the difference of it. And having, you know, just editors look at your stuff in the way it's written. It's just a different world, and just trying different stuff out on my own. And since then, 6 weeks ago, I could read my articles from 6 weeks ago to now, and it's 10 times better than what I was writing ever before in my life from a conversation and just reading stuff and reading other writers. And nothing against blogs and all that stuff, but I was really at the point I was like, yo, I'm past that. I'm past the fluff. I don't want to do just a ton of fluff. I want to challenge myself.
Yeah.
I want my editorials to be better. I want all these pieces and going places where I cover to be better. And he just gave me a ton of, like, you know, good writing stuff and, you know, just not speaking in past tense and all this stuff. And a bunch of stuff he says you correct on his articles. And
I was say, behind every good writer is a good editor. And I've edited Ryan a few times. I haven't edited Andreas, actually. But those guys, Tony Brunner at Yahoo, edits mostly the MMA stuff. So yep. I know they've been helping those guys. Definitely every writer has a good editor behind them. And I think that's a secret that people who aren't in the business look at writers and they say, oh, how did this writer write this excellent piece? It's because using an editor is helping them along the way sort of guide their writing.
Definitely. And that's what's so cool. And I told Ryan, I was like, man, I am glad to be at my age, which is 27, have access to stuff that I couldn't even imagine and still be able to learn and mess up. I was like, it's cool. And you guys being at Yahoo and everything and being at the Pinnacle and all that stuff, I'd be like, yo, it's dope. I like where you guys are and I want to get there. But I was like, it's dope that I can mess up. Like, I can just experiment.
Yeah. This is the time to experiment.
Yeah, like I can try different tones and different styles of writing and everything. And now I was getting better at it. So it's cool, like, to just see, like, everything own in. And that's kind of what I'm going for, like, this next year. But it's dope, and it's only because I met you guys and we're friends and meeting more journalists and had a blast at UFC this weekend, and like all the journalists finally in town, and we had like a little like fraternity type aspect and we're just talking craziness. Everyone that was there, man, Jordan is great. There's just great writers to share dog, everyone from Share Dog,
everyone from, you know, MMA fighting is dope. Everyone's just cool.
Yeah, everyone's cool.
And just talking to everyone. There's the European people that only hear on press conferences who come in.
Garth. Garth's the character,
Garth,
man.
Garth is the best. Yo, he's amazing. He's so funny to me. And, yeah, just seeing all these writers and all these people who cover sports from everywhere and getting together. And then at the end of the weekend, UFC just, you know, Budweiser was a sponsor. So they bought like 500 beers for the media and dropped them off in the media room and said, this is for us.
I've been to quite a few UFC events now. Never seen Budweiser's. Remember how excited we got about candy at Staples Center?
Yeah.
That's like, I got low expectations here for like post-fight snacks.
No, it was like probably 500, 600 beers.
Wow.
And they were just like, yeah, we're
drinking. You guys deserved it after 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. Great sponsor. Listen, I was double fisting for quite a while. Like, they dropped the beers off. Everything was done at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. Connor got off the stage. And then I left at 1:45. There's still 40 media members in the media room. So we were drinking for quite some time. It was a fun night. Fun night in media. And you have those. And everyone is just really close. Like I said, it's a lot of camaraderie. And for young riders, don't be scared. Get in. Be yourself. Have your goddamn Mikel moments. Share your opinion. Because everyone, as long as you're good, that's what I say. As long as you're good, you can have whatever opinion you want. People don't agree with what I say half the time.
Let us get Bayless.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, as long as you believe it. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. But as long as you're good at what you do, you can.
And if you are wrong, at least be accountable.
Definitely.
You got to stand up for your mistakes and say, hey,
look. Patrick Cummins sucks.
Yeah, say, I got it wrong. Yeah. You know, that's all right.
I took the L on that one.
Yeah.
I will stand by my To Pimp a Butterfly critique.
Oh, I'm not trying to go there with you.
So, yeah, I mean, that's stuff you learn along the way. And hopefully we shed some knowledge. Some game on these people.
I hope so. Because Andreas wasn't doing it. Sorry, Andreas.
So let's touch on UFC before we, you know, hit the break. We had an entire recap show, so we don't have to go in depth about it. But just what do you think about Conor McGregor winning in 13 seconds?
I was sitting on the couch, and fight starts, and I looked down because I had my Twitter open, and I was watching on a feed, so I was behind social media, so I looked down, closed my computer. I looked up, fight's over. And I was like, what's going on? I was completely blown away. He called a shot. I sat there after the fight, stunned, like, what just happened? Like, did this really just happen? And for all the Conor McGregor, I would say, naysayers and haters, the man proved himself. And at this point, I don't think he's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the sport, if you're going to count John Jones, but he's definitely number two, I would say.
Nah, definitely. I mean, John Jones will always be number one. The only person that could defeat John Jones is cocaine.
Actually, cocaine might help him.
So is the condoms and the hot Cheetos.
John Jones is the only one who can defeat John Jones.
I'm telling you, that is so true, and we'll see. We'll see what he has going forward. And going forward, Conor has a few options. Do you think he's – let me preface this by saying anyone who didn't hear the stuff after the fight, Conor McGregor feels that he can be a two-division champion. And people laugh at him. I believe that shit.
Oh, I believe it too.
And he wants to go up and challenge in lightweight and keep the featherweight belt and defend them both at the same damn time.
Jay Lethal.
Yes. Please, someone Photoshop just Conor's head on Jay Lethal's body. Or the Rollins picture. It's a little bit better skin tone.
Yeah, it might work better. It might be a little more, you know, not insensitive.
So we need to make that happen. But Conor wants to do it. You think he has a chance?
I think he has a chance. I saw before he got over here this morning or this afternoon that he could be facing the six-month suspension. He's at a wrist thing, I guess. He's at a look at.
Yeah.
So
all signs say that he passes the X-ray, though.
Okay.
But so, it's his left wrist. He threw one punch. He threw.
Sort of like Rousey did, where
she broke her hand.
She broke her hand in that flurry of fist. But assuming Conor's right, I could see him fighting in April and fighting in July. And in July, going for that second belt.
Yeah, I think they have a pretty good plan in place. I think he fights in March. This fight is so quick, you put him back in the cage as soon as you can. You don't know what happens, how much time he needs off in a real fight
Yeah.
before July. And
with that being said, there's no March destination. It'd be cool to see him go back to Ireland in March. April's pretty locked up. It's, you know, that MSG card so, is still on the table.
I've seen all these tweets about fighters saying, I want to fight at MSG. I get what they're trying to do, but at the moment, there is no MSG show. Until they figure out the legislation in New York, it's just a pipe dream, right?
No, it's possible.
It's possible, definitely, but
because
at the moment,
all you think you need is a loophole, a gap of space. So you need to win one decision and then have New York appeal yours. So if the UFC wins before that date, it opens it up. And it's now on New York to appeal. How fast can they see that appeal? It was the same thing, not destination, but with Rampage Jackson and Bellator.
Yes.
It was just like, hey, we're going to rush him into a fight while the appeal's going.
The difference is,
and it's a loophole.
You got to build an entire car. I mean, well, you need a backup plan. If New York falls through, it'll probably be Vegas because that seems to be
there. But there's so many things in Vegas. February's in Vegas. March will probably be somewhere else. It also depends on who highlights it. I don't mind Newark as a backup plan. They've done that before.
That made sense because it's right there.
It's right there. They do all their pre-fight stuff downtown Manhattan anyway for the Newark shows. So that's not bad. That's a pretty good backup plan. You just move it right there. The whole week doesn't have to be canceled. It's just that one night. Move it over.
What about Boston if Connor's on the card?
Boston would be great if Connor's on the card. But I don't think you stack a New York card around Connor. But if it's John Jones versus DC, you can still move that to Jersey and not take a hit.
Yeah.
You can have,
you could have had Weidman until he got his face crushed.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how he bounces back. But that's still an option if he bounces back quick enough for a rematch. So you can do that if that is your chance. If it's someone else, then, yeah, you might have to move it. And sadly, or cancel it altogether. We've seen that. They've done it twice.
They've done it twice, but that was because of injuries. Mostly. And the way the UFC's been rolling recently, the last 6 months with great pay-per-view sales, Dana wouldn't want to cancel a card if he didn't have to.
No. And to me, Newark is the best contingency plan there. But I think Conor fights in March. I think you put McGregor against the lightweight champion, whoever it is, coming out of this weekend. If you guys don't know, UFC on Fox 17, Cerrone versus Rafael Dos Anjos for the championship. Strategically placed, by the way, by the UFC that these fights are a week apart.
Yep.
But they didn't know Conor was moving up. Cool. yeah, we don't believe you. So I think they structured it this way so he can fight them. And I'll stick by it that if he loses at lightweight, it doesn't hurt his marketability at featherweight.
Not at all.
You don't lose your title. You come right back and you are the champion.
Because here's the thing about Conor. He's lost before.
Yeah.
No one at this point, the casual MMA fan doesn't know that. He's lost before. It's not like Ronda Rousey where she was coming in undefeated. Had all this pressure. Connor's taken, though.
The guy he's
fine.
Lost to is in the UFC.
And he's not very good.
Duffy's not bad.
Duffy's not bad. But he's not. You would think he's not the guy
that beat Connor.
Yes.
Yeah, he caught Connor at a great time.
Yeah.
And Connor's two losses in his career, by the way, are at 155. At lightweight. He's never lost a featherweight.
Yes. So,
going up does test him a bit. We saw what RDA did to Pettis. And we saw what Mendez did to, you know, a really smaller Mendez did to Connor. So it's like RDA can literally lay on him for five rounds. We've seen him do it to a guy with a great stand-up. It's not the greatest matchup for Connor. I would love to see Connor versus Cowboy Cerrone.
That'd be great. Oh, the trash talking that would go on.
Oh, it'd be amazing. So I think he fights the winner of that, and then UFC 200 is still on pace because he's just going to defend the featherweight title against Jose Aldo in a rematch or Frankie Edgar, and it doesn't hurt that at all.
No, it doesn't.
He can lose and still the champion. He fights number one contender, and he's rolling. And all the belts get defended twice a year anyway with the injuries and all the stupid stuff. I mean, look at Aldo. He defended it twice in 2 years. So it's not like
Weidman's just as bad, too.
Yeah, it's not like he's slowing up the division. That belt hasn't been.
And the heavyweights are just as bad.
Yeah, those belts aren't contested that much.
No.
So Connor can do two in featherweight, two in lightweight if he technically wins the belt and be on pace with every other champion. And make dough. He's going to run through these UFC contracts because they're like 4-fight contracts, 8-fight contracts. He's going to do that in a year, 2 years, and then his money is just going to skyrocket.
Yeah, let's just hope he doesn't blow it. The money, that is.
Well, I think they're saving him for himself because, you know, like when he first came into the UFC, he did the interview and he was like, before every fight, I have to spend everything I made from the last fight.
Yes.
And he was like, because it keeps me hungry. It makes me want to win because I know I have to win to eat. I'm pretty sure he can't spend the amount of money that he's now getting. I'm pretty sure he walked away the other day from 194. I think it's reported 3.5 mil,
oh,
4 mil.
Wow.
From UFC after pay-per-view shares, after gate shares, after the 500,000 guaranteed, after the fight knockout bonus, everything together, he walked away with 4 mil, not including the Reebok deal, not including landing the cover of EA Sports.
That's right.
And whatever other endorsement he has.
Yeah, so
he
it was a good night for Conor.
He cashed out like 6 mil, which is a pretty good night.
Which is nothing compared to boxing.
Nothing at all. I mean,
just how much did Berto make for that fight?
Berto was
like
up 3.5, 4.
Yeah, and that's Andre Berto.
Yeah.
That's
Broner in his last fight, the one God knows, I think it was in Cincinnati when he won the a vacant belt.
Uh-huh.
He was guaranteed 1.5.
Yeah, so I mean,
Timothy Bradley just made $2.5 million that last fight.
Yeah,
Timothy Bradley, and
those,
no one bought
those
that.
Those guys
pay-per-view.
Are getting underpaid. Still,
yeah, super underpaid. Aljamain Sterling, who was really great during UFC weekend, rising athlete, black athlete at that, and he's ranked like number 4 in that division now, in the bantamweight division. And he was clamoring to be a star. He crashed like the workouts and all this stuff. He wore the old school Big Daddy Kane style rope,
the Dookie
chain,
the Dookie chain.
He wore he had the Rakim haircut. He was the talk of that week, really, like him trying to be a star. And they buried him on like the fight pass card, and he's ranked 4th in the division, 4th or 5th. They buried him on the fight pass card. He made $18,000 guaranteed that fight. He won, so it doubled it, so he got $36,000.
Wow.
Mind you, on the same card, Sage Northcutt, his second fight in the UFC, he was guaranteed $40,000. He won, he got $80,000.
What are your thoughts about Mr. Northcutt?
He's awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. I don't know, man. That guy is going to make them a lot of money if he can live up to his potential. I see it down the road. And the UFC is just not made for 19-year-olds. It's just not. So he's going to lose. And he's put himself in the perfect position to do so.
Yeah.
Going and training at TriStar is great. There's guys in that camp who have been champions. Rory McDonald, who was one nose break away, yeah, about 4 minutes away from being a champion. And both of those guys lost before they were champions. GSP knew what it was like to lose in the biggest moment and come back. You know, he knew what it was like to be upset in one of the biggest upsets ever and come back. So those guys lose, and they come back, they get better, and they fight again. And I think Sage is going to lose, and he's going to have to come back, be better, and fight again. Everyone we've seen at that age who's the next guy loses. Robbie Lawler was supposed to be that next guy. Amazing at 19-20 in the UFC.
And his career path to the detour.
Got bounced completely out.
Yeah.
Came back, world champion. BJ Penn was amazing at that age. Took his lumps. One of the greatest fighters in UFC history. We see it all throughout the UFC. I mean, so many champions now were bounced. Look at Verdum. Bounced.
Oh, man. Verdum was
amazing at jiu-jitsu. Had none else.
Yeah, that was it.
Bounced. Fought somewhere else. Came back.
And now he's a killer.
Got some hands. Now you can't touch him anywhere. So UFC, really, before, I would say, Northcutt might break the mold. I'll give him that. But before, it was made to peak in your 30s, late 20s.
Well, actually,
John Jones,
I was about
broke
to say, the
mold.
One guy who comes to mind, yeah, is John Jones, because
he's a freak of nature.
He sort of avoided all that.
Yes. Because before, and John Jones, I don't know how he did it still to this day, because he still was wrestling specific and then somehow got the best hands in the world.
Yeah.
Just overnight. Like,
well, I just think his family is a freak of nature. I mean, look at his brothers.
Yeah,
I mean,
you just can't top pedigree sometimes.
NFL players and his family.
Which is why Sage Northcutt is probably going to be a monster.
Yeah.
But John Jones, I guess, is the only one that has done so, but everyone else was something specific. You're the best collegiate wrestler. That takes you to 23. Now you got to learn how to get hands.
Yeah. It's
so to be mixed martial arts, like, you have to know all of the arts. You got to learn jiu-jitsu.
At CM Punk.
Yeah, you got to learn how to strike. You have to learn some wrestling and grappling. All of these things. Shit, you got to learn Muay Thai sometimes to get into that dirty cage fighting, not get kneed in the ribs and your liver go out. So you got to do all of these things. By the time you get really good at everything, usually like 28, 29, 30. So Northcutt, though, has been training MMA since he was 8. He's been doing karate this entire time. But he's been rolling. He's been grappling. He's been wrestling. And we're seeing a new generation of kids who are going to start MMA.
Yes, at a young age.
At 7, 8, 9. It's going to be like the NFL. Bigger, faster, stronger. They know all the disciplines. QBs can throw it out of the shotgun 80 times in college. Before, they couldn't throw it 30.
Yeah.
And they were under center. We see stuff start earlier. And that's what we're going to see in the MMA. And I think Northcutt is that first guy. We're at 19. He knows all of the disciplines. Is he great at one thing? Yes. But he knows everything. And he's going to be dangerous. But he might lose along the way. I don't know. We'll see. They tried to do the same thing with Paige where they slowed her down. And they let her beat up on lesser competition. And
she got rocked.
And this is the first time she fought someone in the top 5. And got rocked. And then it's just like, okay, cool. She's 20. Let's let her go back. And pick up some more wins. They didn't rush her, though.
They didn't rush her, no.
They let her do her thing. They gave her the big stage once. She failed. That's cool. She'll try again at 22 to try to, just jump up into that range and catch those people. But until then, let's beat up on some 10 through 15s. Just chill for a second. And Northcutt's the same way. As long as they don't rush him up in that division, because, I mean, it's 155. The kid's going to outgrow it.
Yeah.
He's going to end up at 170 like GSP. But for now, he can fight at 155.
He need to make weight 155 now.
But you look at the top 5, my man, we're not feeding you to any of those guys. I hope he never fights Pettis. Like,
oh, man.
Anyone like that. Like,
not yet.
Yeah, like in the next 3 years, I don't want to see him against any of them.
Because he's still a boy.
Yeah.
And he's fighting against men.
But he wants to fight all the time. That's his problem. You got to save him from himself.
Listen,
train.
Go to school. Go to A&M. Hit the books. Go train.
He was like, I'll take a fight in another, 2 months if they let me. It's like, man, if
slow
you
down.
Take a fight every 2 months, I understand. I understand the mentality. Other people do this.
Yeah.
But they're, 25. So they're, they're going the normal pace. You're at 19. Chill. Train. Learn other stuff. Take 4 months in between a fight. You might learn some new skills. Train with GSP. Roll with him. You you learn some dope ground skills. GSP went from being a karate dude to never standing up in a fight.
Yeah.
Just being on his back all the damn time. Just laying and praying on people. So you can evolve. And I think Sage needs to slow down. And I'm not sure if they'll let him. The money train is going. He already was
the second guy on the UFC sort of pushing this dude. Say, hey, you want to fight 2 months? Sure, we'll put you on a fight pass card. You can headline it. FS1 show. Go ahead. They're not going to tell him no.
They need to tell him no.
They need to, but they're not going to.
Oh, Dana. Dana's in a weird position. Because this is... Once again, it's a young sport. They've never had that problem.
It's a young sport that is still looking for stars. You have one in Connor. You have a fallen one in Rousey.
Who could always come back and be bigger if she wins?
Rousey?
Yeah.
She could, but I feel like the retirement clock is starting to tick on her. So it's a matter of how long will she be around? I don't see her being around for another 2 years. Do you?
I do now.
You do?
That she lost. I think a lot of those extracurricular opportunities are starting to dwindle.
But if, say, she comes back in July, wins the belt, defends it once, it's like, then what? So I've proven myself. I've beaten Holly. I've defended my championship.
Oh, then it's 1-1, and she got to beat Holly again. Cyborg is still going to come clamoring.
And then there's the Cyborg thing.
Because Cyborg is just like, yeah, I'm going to take her head off now. Like, if Holly rocked her a minute into the first round of the fight and she never recovered, and Holly's relatively – she's a nice-sized woman – but she's kind of Ronda size. Cyborg's like, I'm going to be 180. I'm going to take your head off. It's like the Rock'em Sock'em Robot things where her head pops up. Like, Cyborg's itching for that.
Well, until Cyborg makes weight, then.
that's the next problem.
Yeah, that's.
But for Cyborg, for that paycheck, with a person now where you know their chin isn't miraculous, I cut whatever. Because I don't want 125 to fight her. Because that payday is worth any weight. It's damn near worth killing yourself.
She would die at 120. She would die at 135, maybe.
Maybe. It's worth it.
She needs to start cutting weight. I mean, she needs to try now. Whenever, I know she's still fighting at 140.
145.
But she's been fighting at 140, correct?
No, this was supposed to be her first fight at 140. Ronda got knocked out. She said, I ain't cutting down. She said, my title's at 140.
That's not the right attitude. You got to at least try. At least pretend to, try to cut down
no,
weight.
No.
She was like, to make it once.
She was like, oh, wait, the cash grab is gone?
Oh, okay. That'd be me.
No rush.
Yeah.
She said she's going to fight Holly again. No rush.
All right, we'll see.
So maybe Invicta has a card like they did last summer. And maybe Cyborg cuts to 140 for that card and headlines Invicta UFC fight weekend.
and then cuts to 135 next fall to get the winner of Holly and Ronda rematch. But hey, she ain't trying to cut now. She ain't trying to. She's trying to cut once ever in her life.
Once.
That is her thing.
That's...
She's cut once to 140, once to 135. If she wins the belt, she's taking it. She's gone.
And I can't remember a fighter who's like had this mentality. Like, I'm going to wait one time to get this check. I can't make the weight. I just can't do it.
Can't. But she don't got to prove nothing else.
She doesn't.
She might not even fight Holly if she wins. If Holly wins again against Ronda, Cyborg might cut the weight and just fight Ronda and try to retire her. Three losses in a row for Ronda.
Why would Ronda take that fight without the belt? After two losses.
Because she can't beat the champion. Like, so either.
But if you know you can't beat the champion, why would you take the fight against a dangerous fighter?
Because then she's just going to retire. Like, if you can't beat Holly again and you lose her twice, hypothetically, in July, Ronda either has to retire or she has to fight Cyborg. Because those are the only two money fights. You're never getting another title shot if you don't beat Cyborg.
But she's running the risk of, like, just tarnishing her legacy if she takes three L's in a row.
But if she takes two L's, fights Cyborg, bounces back, she gets a third shot at the title. If she loses three times, you walk away. If you get the title, you finally redeem yourself against Holly, even though it's 2-1. You get the title, then you retire.
I don't know.
And don't face her again.
I think the second loss to Holly might just crush her spirit.
I believe so. That might be it. I saw what one fight did to her. Two losses, she might never recover from two losses.
I mean,
love Connor. We just talked about, we got friends here in the fight shop. Talked about him. Him versus Cerrone in March, Croke Park, Ireland, for the lightweight title. And then next summer, him versus Edgar for the featherweight title. I predict he has two championships, defends them both. Yep. Beast. Monster. Monster. So Connor has a bright future. Can't wait to see it.
The Irish fans here
in the fight shop.
What, Tuesday?
Yeah, man.
They're still in Vegas.
Listen, they
might
never leave.
My man's out here doing some shopping.
Yeah, probably got Conor McGregor just official apparel.
He does.
Here at the Las Vegas Fight Shop, they actually have all of the official fight apparel. So you get your Reebok on. I'm sure he grabbed the McGregor shirt. So they're here loving it.
Yeah.
You can never kick him out. They damn near should have stole the lion from the MGM.
I know. Oh, man. Man, let some black people act that way in the MGM. See what happens.
Oh,
they're acting.
Everyone would have been pepper sprayed and bullets would have went off. There would have been riot gear.
But, you know what that's about.
All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk wrestling before we get out of here. We had WWE TLC and Monday Night Raw last night, and we have a new champion. It's a weekend for new champions.
This is a big weekend for champions.
And the new. So stay tuned when we come back. We're talking wrestling.
What up, loudspeaker family? What's up? It's your man Ice-T.
And I'm the co-host Mick Benzo.
And we're here to tell you that if you love podcasts like the Combat Jack Show,
The Tax Season,
The Brilliant Idiots,
Fan Bros, and The Corner,
then you're definitely going to want to check out our podcast, The Final Level Podcast. The Final Level Podcast is where you're going to get to talk about the latest movies,
games,
TV shows,
and sports,
but delivered from two OGs who give less than zero fucks about how you feel. We don't hold shit back on this podcast.
It's the hardest podcast on earth.
On iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, which is real close to Snitcher, but it ain't, and YouTube. Right here on the Loudspeaker Network, the number one podcast network on earth. Church.
All right, so we are back from break. Once again, here from the Las Vegas Fight Shop in the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, new home for the Corner Podcast. Really dope. I'm here with a boxing glove on, trying to punch Marcus from my seat. It's not really working.
Good
I got
luck.
Short, tiny arms. So it's not working. I got the, like, Daniel Cormier syndrome. I can't reach anything.
Oh, man.
It's all close fighting.
You hear that, DC?
Yeah, it's all dirty boxing in here. But now we're looking around. There's some dope stuff. Headgear, all this stuff. Next time we have an MMA guest on the show, I'll let him come in here and, like, punch me in the head or something. Or, like, I'll take a head kick.
The people will like that.
From Uriah Hall or something, and we'll put it on video and put it on YouTube. And looking at all the merch, trying to buy this Balor Club t-shirt in preparation for tomorrow's, by the way, we record this on Tuesday. By the time you listen to this, you might have already saw this. But it's NXT TakeOver London.
That's right.
Might do a special show for that if it's, like, super dope. So you guys stay tuned for that. But we have to talk main roster, have to talk TLC first. We can't get at TLC first. I prematurely deemed it a top three pay-per-view of the year.
You did, yo.
Which I got crushed for.
And you did.
Immediately ended up in the group chat, like Andreas does for everything I say. And in retrospect, it was not.
Okay, thank you. You're taking it back.
Yes, accountability. Yes. Me and Ryan McKinnell are both on the hyperbole train, and I ran a little too far with that one. So, cool. It was not a top three pay-per-view, but it had its bright spots, and I think I was so hyped for it because, one, I watched it with Twitter.
Okay.
So you get caught kind of that mob mentality thing, and the interaction between everyone made it seem a little bit more exciting. And then
the first match sort of set the bar to this would be a great show.
It did. And I had low expectations for the entire pay-per-view. So that it was good in any aspect, I was happy. And that first match, it just kicked it off.
Yeah, that was, I would say, definitely top 10 match of the year. Maybe top 5. The New Day looked impressive. We know that can all work. I think they've sort of been overshadowed as this side show act, but all three of them can wrestle.
Oh, yeah. When they get in the ring, Xavier Woods maybe not so much, but Kofi.
Definitely Kofi and Big E.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lucha Dragons, I mean, those dudes are underrated.
Oh, Kalisto's underrated. Sin Cara, all right.
Do you think Kalisto could become a single star?
I don't think anymore.
Like Mysterio?
No, I think they signed their single star. Like, if you guys watch NXT or, pay attention to the dirt sheets, El Sombre.
Oh, La Sombra?
Yeah. La Sombra. He signed. So, yeah, he's the future. He's the next masked guy. He's just so much better than everyone else who's a luchador. Unless you throw Ricochet in a mask and call him Prince Puma.
Oh, man. One day.
He's better than everyone else outside of Ricochet, who was very country. So, he can't even be a luchador in the WWE. But I think Kalisto has a future. I think they should keep him as a tag team. I like the Lucha Dragons, and they brought that Hardy Boys type of mentality. The, we're high flyers. We're going to put our body on the line, and we're going to do some stuff that are going to make you say, wow. And it's crazy. New Day wasn't in any of those, by the way.
Yeah, and then you had the Usos. Who...
I like the Usos.
The Usos are the Usos. I mean.
The Usos are like the tag team Roman Reigns to me. They aren't the best technical wrestlers, but if you put them in a gimmick match or tell them to put their body on the line, they will do it in any way you want.
Yeah.
So they just have no fear, which is good.
Which is good.
We just got to put you through a table. They're like, oh, okay, whatever.
I still can't tell them apart, by the way. It's been years. And I've Jimmy, Jay.
I don't know.
Jay, Jimmy, I don't know.
One is married to the big booty chicken bad.
Yes.
That's all I know.
And the other one is.
Who is not very appealing to the face.
Who? It's about Naomi?
Yeah, Naomi. She doesn't do it for me either.
Wow.
She's not my cup of tea. Well, we know Sasha's bae.
Okay.
But Naomi is not it. The other chick was cuter.
You need to see Naomi. You need to see Naomi in person.
She better in person?
She's
okay,
on point.
I'm talking to a married man right now.
She's on point.
Oh, okay. I like the other Funkadactyl better, who is
Cameron.
Now Cameron.
Nah, I wasn't a Cameron fan.
You weren't a Cameron
fan?
Yeah, she was cuter to me.
Nah.
Naomi, I could probably see it. I don't know, man. Something about her. It's a real Serena Williams-ish to me. It's like, I'll give her body like an A+. I just don't know about everything else. Maybe her personality is really nice.
Maybe that's why Cameron's personality, I don't think.
Her personality is whack.
Yeah, just.
But I kind of like a stuck-up girl every now and then. I'm a weird dude. I don't know, man. Don't get me talking about that on the podcast. Right.
Yeah.
My taste in women is diverse, to say the least. Shout out to my girlfriend who listens to the podcast.
I was about to say, don't get in trouble. I know your girlfriend's probably listening.
She listens to every show.
Shout out to Mac and Cheese, by the way. How was Thanksgiving?
Oh, Thanksgiving was bomb, yo. They had the little play setting. Yes, we know what mac and cheese is. They laid it out. It was very nice. It was nice being around a different culture for Thanksgiving. I have no greens, but it was cool. We'll see what Christmas.
Oh, that's right. Christmas is right around the corner.
Yes, because being Puerto Rican as well, I celebrate Christmas like all Spanish people do on Christmas Eve. So, I'm making my full Puerto Rican Christmas Eve. Any Puerto Ricans listening to podcasts, what up? I'll have the coquito again. I'll have pasteles. I'll have pernil, all that stuff. Arroz con gandules. I'm making myself hungry right now. And I'm having all that for Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day, when my Caucasian brethren celebrate, we are going to her family's house once again. And we're going to chill and we're going to see what they have. But I think her family is maybe, from New Mexico or something.
Really?
Down the line. I know she grew up here.
Uh-huh.
But they got, family in New Mexico. So they've been talking up, this green chili, or something they make for the holidays. It sounds delicious. All right. So that's a little different.
Got something to, like, you know,
something different
to the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that's their own.
Yeah, it's not just like casserole and mashed potatoes.
Green bean casserole, man. Oh man.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not.
Did they
it's
have
not that,
at Thanksgiving?
They did. They had casserole.
That's so.
And I tried.
So
we had a conversation.
Did they have mashed potatoes?
Yes, they did.
Also a white staple.
But it wasn't like bland mashed potatoes. It was like well seasoned.
Okay.
Like they used some butter.
All right.
So it was dope. I didn't have to add salt and pepper. That's how
all
you know.
Yeah, that's a good
sign. The mashed potatoes were legit. But the casserole I did not touch. I passed the plate over me. I was not trying to do the casserole. But I guess after speaking to people, not having casserole at Thanksgiving for our white friends is like not having mac and cheese for us black folks. It's like, how dare you not have casserole at Thanksgiving? I guess they all do it.
They all do it. That's a story we need to see next Thanksgiving, the similarities and differences between foods for Thanksgiving. There's definitely a divide on mostly the sides. I mean, everyone's got turkey. Everyone's got ham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Both sides.
Sweet potatoes? Who's that? Is that a black thing?
I think somebody bought yams.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. No, they're definitely called sweet potatoes and not yams though.
Okay.
Because when you call them yams, you got a black people function.
Yeah, but then you get like green bean casserole, mashed potatoes. At Thanksgiving,
I don't. I don't need mashed potatoes at my Thanksgiving.
So, what about desserts?
There was pie.
What kind of pie, though?
There was a chocolate pie.
That's all right. That's a
curveball. Which was delicious. And,
no pumpkin or like.
There was
pumpkin.
Pie? All right, pumpkin.
But no sweet potato.
No sweet potato.
See,
no sweet potato pie. It wasn't like the joints that went for sale in Walmart and people were fighting over and shit.
Wasn't the
Miss Patty's pies.
Okay.
Nah. They didn't get their hands on those.
Should have brought that to the house. My contribution.
What I did notice, though, is that there's liquor at everybody's Thanksgiving.
Yes. I think you need liquor to tell your family.
Spanish, black, white, as Rob says it on BSO, Kaepernick. It doesn't matter what you are. You got liquor at your Thanksgiving. And I was nice and buzzed for Thanksgiving, so I was appreciative of that. We will see what Christmas holds, but it wasn't bad.
All right. It's a good sign.
Yeah, it shocked me. I did not taste the casserole, though. You can't get me to eat casserole.
Well, it might be bad for Christmas, so you can have a second shot.
Yeah. If they have, like, the little Jell-O mold joints, like fruit? It's like a fruit cake or something? I don't know.
Like the ambrosia or like?
I don't know. I know Caucasian people interact with fruit cakes on the holidays. I got to look it up. But there's like Jell-O molds with fruit in it, and then there's like a physical cake.
Okay, I've seen fruitcake before. Don't eat that.
You don't eat fruitcake?
No,
I've never had it.
It's not good.
No?
No.
Okay, good. I'm going to pass on
that. Pass on fruitcake.
Okay, yeah.
That's.
But I know it's like a holiday thing, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, don't touch that.
Yeah, not doing it. All right, good. I've been warned.
Yeah, don't
do it. So Christmas is coming up. Now I know what to eat and what not to eat. If they break out anything weird, I will let you know.
Yeah, put it on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for this green chili. So going back to TLC, we have the Usos and all that stuff. Great match. What else was a good match? We have Ambrose beating
KO. Were you surprised about that?
I was.
I didn't see that coming.
I thought that was a tell that Reigns was going to lose. No way they both walk out with the titles. The stupid family thing is just horrible to me. And I don't know. I guess KO got so big he didn't need the title. And I think giving Ambrose a push and trying to create another star is perfect. Because Ambrose is super over.
Yes.
And KO has so much versatility in a roster that doesn't have heels. So it's just like, okay, we put the strap on him, took it off Ryback, thank God.
Oh, man.
And made it relevant. Cena's coming back to make the other title relevant again, America. Because he's going to slap around Del Rio.
Let's
now that he's
so
full-blooded Mexican. It's going to go full Trump on him. And then we'll have relevancy in all the titles. And then KO now, it's like, you're our main heel. We can put you wherever. If we want you to feud with Ambrose for a little more, you can do that. If we need someone that Reigns can feud with, that Reigns can beat, and it's not going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And then that can beat Reigns and take the strap for a while. And then Reigns gets it back. KO's that guy, and he's believable. He could feud for the heavyweight title. And I think he's just that guy where he didn't need a belt. Hopefully they don't take that for granted like they did with Bray Wyatt and put him into meaningless, you know, just to boost other people feuds. But I think KO's different. I think they know, like, this guy can feud with Reigns. Because now if you get too trigger happy and you throw Reigns in with Brock, it ruins your whole shit.
Well, I'm thinking KO and Brock eventually.
There's not a face in there, I guess. I mean, Brock could be a face.
I think Brock is. He's pretty much been a face, sort of.
He was a heel, but people hated Roman so much.
Yeah, but I think even Paul Heyman, I wouldn't call Paul Heyman a face his last run, but he had face-like qualities. He wasn't a heel like he was
prior.
Against Taker.
No, because it's like super over. Like, once again, everyone hated the Roman Reigns push.
Yeah.
So everyone was cheering for Brock. Like, please beat him. He can't be champion. And
that'll be the true test for Roman Reigns when he defends his title against a... Well, I think Cena might be... He might be okay against Cena because
people hate Cena
too. But
yeah. He's the best heel, non-heel.
Yeah,
ever.
But someone like Lesnar, let's see like what he can do against Lesnar in terms of a reaction. But I still think it'll be 70-30 Lesnar from the fans.
Oh, I agree. And... I don't know. If you go over on Lesnar at this point, where the company is, if you go over on Lesnar, you're huge. It propelled Seth, and he even pinned Lesnar.
Yeah.
But just in a match with Lesnar.
Where Lesnar didn't get the win, that helped him a lot.
Just took Seth throughout the summer. I believe he wins the Slammy next week for Wrestler of the Year. Because it carried him, and his talent obviously was great. But him as a character... You look back to the Shield, man. He didn't have the look. That was Roman. He didn't have the mic skills. That was Ambrose.
Yeah.
He had some high-flying moves, which when he won championship, they said, you're not even doing those anymore.
You mentioned Rollins. If he does win next week, A, will he show up in some form? And B, the reaction, what do you think it'll be?
Oh, huge. Rollins is a face.
Because this is your first shot of getting the Seth Rollins babyface.
Yeah. I think he comes back. He vows to be better than he was. You can follow his stupid journey on Instagram and all those things. He's going to be, you know, sympathetic. And I'm sure they'll put him versus the Authority when he comes back in some shape or form. And that'd be great. We'll see how many NXT guys can make the jump to the main roster after Mania. We'll see how the stables work out. If, you know, this League of Nations is an offshoot or if it stays. Or
let's hope it's done by WrestleMania.
I mean, they've got shit else to do with these guys. You might as well keep them together. I'd like to see League of Nations versus Wyatt's maybe at WrestleMania. It's a 4-on-4. You got to do something with both of them.
Yeah.
But it has to be like no holds barred, kind of like we saw last night, which we'll get into. I hate when you have to tag people in 4-on-4 matches.
Yeah, it just
takes away everything. So I wouldn't mind that. And we'll see. I'm still holding hope that the Shield can come back together because I think they're all big enough stars to come back together. It's just what belts.
Well, and what would drive them to unite again? Would it be to go against the Authority?
Against the Authority, they'd all have to be face, and the Authority would have to
need a stable,
rebuild their stable,
and not with Sheamus. Because
no, those guys would have to be gone. But I foresee in the future we had the ECW takeover type of thing back in the day. I think we have a next wave, like an NXT takeover. Like a Hunter comes out and say, these are my guys. I recruited them here. I picked them. They are going to be our future. And he's going to tell Rollins and all of them, you guys were in NXT when I got it. We're pushing you out.
You know, the perfect trio would be Owens,
Balor
and Tommy. But Balor and Tommy are so small.
And everything.
I don't know.
But Balor's huge. I mean, his character's
huge. His character would be huge. And Balor in a suit isn't going to make you money as opposed to Balor in his face paint doing the whole outfit. So
no, but I mean, you have an incredible stable down there. I mean, just of the new guard of people he bought in. If you want like a true invasion, and which they count NXT as its own entity, so people don't have to be full-time. We've seen Owens go down and fight. We've seen Sasha go down and fight. But if you have Balor up full-time, if you have a Tommy still in NXT, if you have Samoa Joe as NXT champion come up, and then Cruz is too much of a face.
Yeah,
but
I think Joe's a curveball.
If you have Joe, Owens, and Balor, and Joe has the NXT championship, and then a Tommy, if you want to leave him down or bring him up, whatever it may be, those three alone have at it versus the Shield. I'd watch that at WrestleMania right now.
Yeah, that's not a bad
match.
As
a main event. And I think that's the future of the Authority. And I think Joe can be that enforcer. I think Finn's character is larger in life. And KO, being round and portly and just a badass, can be the mouthpiece.
Yeah, a Tommy wouldn't fit in. I mean, I don't see a Tommy as a heel. I don't buy it.
No, I'd be rough. I was always firm.
Sami Zayn is a heel either.
No, I was always firm that a Tommy's character has been, like, butchered. Hopefully this injury can change it up. But I always thought he should come back as, like, Yakuza, you know, like, Asian gangster, tiny little Asian gangster guy. Like, I like that. Because, I mean, he doesn't have the flamboyance and the flair
of a Nakamura.
Yeah, so if you're not doing that as a face, and you have to be a little menacing. Like, Asuka, I think, is dope.
Yes.
Because she's, like, nice, and she's a face, but she's menacing. And she just rips people's arms off and shit. Like, she's just super cool. They did that right. But she had a gimmick. She got the mask. She got the bright colors. Yeah, she's perfect.
Hideo has nothing. I mean, he's got Funaki as his translator.
Yeah. That's it. Like, cool, you use the GTS still.
Yeah.
And people, you know.
People pop for that.
Yeah, just because they want Punk back. So, it's just like, whatever. They have to turn him something. And hopefully him getting jumped or something like that. I don't know if they try to use that to get him super over as a face, or if it's like a weird heel turn brewing.
Yeah, they still need
there.
To answer who actually jumped to Tommy. They still haven't decided.
They haven't said anything, so that's going to be interesting. And I don't know. I trust Triple H. As much as I don't trust Vince, I trust Triple H to get it right in NXT because he hasn't missed much. I mean, what, Callahan or whatever was his only miss?
Yeah,
and
I
that
mean,
kid just
I was I don't I don't, I don't fault Triple H for that at all.
Yeah, like I don't get it, but I mean, indie people love him, and he's back on the indie circuit and racking up titles.
Yes,
but I don't get it, and I didn't think Solomon Crow worked. It had the potential to be a computer
had potential,
nerd, but he just never did it for me. And he's portly, and he wears like a singlet, like a wrestling thing.
That weird look,
the hair, it didn't translate.
It's very much an indie look,
yeah.
But not like an indie like on a Gargano Ciampa look, because I think those guys have fit in well in NXT when they've done stuff.
Definitely.
And same with James Storm, but Callahan just was an oddball.
Storm has it if they can figure it out. I think he could be the perfect, like, tweener.
And then I guess Austin Aries is still maybe in the mix, I guess. I mean, there's the rumors he showed up a few weeks ago, and he didn't appear on TV, but that could be another guy who can sort of plug in as a...
No, that'd be dope. Austin Aries is definitely a good character. I mean, NXT can really build that roster. I mean, we see the guys down there succeeding already. Apollo's taken off. I mean, everyone was like, Uha Nation and all this stuff. And it was like, cool. And we knew that. But it's like, how is that character going to translate? And Apollo Crews, the name came out. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, here we
go. Like, this is going to be horrible. But they made it work.
They made it work. He's not, you know, a stereotype.
No.
Yet.
No, he's not. I mean, he's him.
He's
like,
him.
He's just... no character, and the promos he did cut is cool. I like his, like, kind of intimidating nice guy thing where he's, like, overly nice, like, but you know he's going to kick your ass thing. I think that's cool, and we'll see where they go from there. He's going to be champion sooner or later.
I think so. And then you've got, in the wings, Rich Swann, Biff Busick. You have all these guys on the indies who they've signed, and I'm sure there'll be another wave soon of guys you probably see on PWG now who are going to come in, like a Tommy End, and just... what they're doing
when they sign
is,
Ricochet, it's just going to be...
Is he under...
He's
Lucha?
Under, like, under lifetime contracts with Lucha. He signed something stupid. Like,
wow.
9
He's
going to
regret that. Because you know who his roommate is, right? He rooms with...
With Apollo.
Apollo. So
yeah.
It's like...
In Florida.
You're coming home. Well, what'd you do at work today? I went to the performance center. What'd you do? Nothing. I'm only taping 8 times
He's
a year.
He's like, you know, I made my debut in front of 15,000.
Yeah,
like,
so...
Yeah, no, from all indications and what people said, that Lucha was supposed to go under for the second season, but then somehow they saved it.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting for Lucha to go under and cave.
Maybe after season 2.
So they can snatch Ricochet up. So that'd be great. Once again, they have the end. And that's one of the biggest thing about just their setup. Triple H was smart. Get some of these guys and then get them to get their friends. Because I don't think they get Kevin Owens if they didn't get Sami Zayn.
Correct.
And you can just keep going down the line. And Young Bucks signed a 1-year deal. Say what you want, but they signed a 1-year deal.
They pulled the LeBron. They're like, look, I got options. I'm going to opt out and assess my future in a year from now.
And that's great. So, I mean, they can get the Bucks as much as people think that shit will never happen. And once you just get their
It's going to happen eventually.
I think so. I think now they have enough of their friends in place to make it comfortable. And it's going to be a crazy time because Triple H is building something special. And we'll see if Vince lets him do it on main roster. If not, fuck it. We always got NXT.
Yeah.
So going through the pay-per-view, let's just skip to the main event. Reigns versus Sheamus. I thought their TLC match was all right. I thought they used a lot of like the gimmick stuff in a good way.
Wasn't bad. It felt a little slow at times, sort of the pacing of it. But I think the match was pretty much just setting up for the ending, which was the Triple H assault.
Yes, which was great. Crash, I mean, it got a good pop, and you know, people really liked it. And people were like, okay, at least you're smartening up. This is what we want from Reigns. We just want him to wreck shit. Just don't have him talk. Just do whatever. Just wreck everybody. And then we saw a continuation of that on Monday Night Raw. Once again, hyperbole kicked in. People were like, it's the greatest Raw of the year. They're losing their damn mind. They forgot about Cena open challenges and all that good stuff.
Well, compared to last week's Raw,
which
was probably the worst Raw of the year. No hyperbole. It was definitely an upgrade. Did you see the ratings for the last night's Raw?
Yeah, it was huge.
They're up 25%.
We'll see what Reigns can do as champion now, carrying it into Royal Rumble, because it's a huge build.
It's
heading into the Rumble.
Five more weeks of this.
Yeah. So he has to carry the show. Into the Rumble, you got to be the man.
You got to be the man, but you're going to have some help. Lesnar should be back soon.
Yeah.
I think Lesnar's back early July. Cena should be back soon. I think before the end of the year, maybe. So
yeah,
having those two around.
Both Cena and Brock are pegged for like an MSG show Christmas Day or something crazy. Christmas week.
Okay, because I know Lesnar's at a house show this weekend in Inglewood, in California.
So they're doing like those shows, but I'm pretty sure the first Raw after the new year.
And that's usually a bit Raw.
Yeah.
The first one of the new year is sort of.
Then SmackDown comes on same week.
With
so
Marvel
I'm sure
Mello.
That first week, they're going to do something great for SmackDown, just moving it
over
to USA. They're going to try to make that the biggest SmackDown show. So we'll probably see, you know, maybe, you know, Cena on Raw, Brock on SmackDown, or something of the combination
or
to make people tune in.
Both shows, yeah.
Yeah. To make people tune in. So now you're right, they're coming, and reserves are in full effect.
Yeah, because next week's the Slammies.
Yep.
And then you have the post Christmas show.
And that's it.
And that's it. So they might be all right. They might have finally escaped this.
And they had to put the belt on them and see,
and
see
they,
what
they
the kid
they,
got.
They did a lot because they brought back Vince, which is something they don't like to do. They had to break that glass and bring the old man back. They had a title change, which they haven't done recently.
Especially on Raw. And forever.
Any title changes, not just the WWE. I mean, like, tags, they don't do title changes anymore on TV.
No.
So they really put a lot into this Raw. It popped the rating, and now it's a matter of, okay, well, can you keep people coming back?
And it was ballsy by Vince, because he's like, we're
literally,
in Philly.
Literally ballsy. He kicked Roman in the...
I mean, it's in Philly. They
it's
just
in Philly.
Booed the hell out of him the last time he was in that building. You couldn't hear anything but boos. And they said, we're going to put him over and put the belt on him in this building, and you guys are going to like it, and you're going to cheer. And the crowd gave him a standing ovation, and they popped for him.
It worked.
And if you could, once again, Philly is one of the best crowds anywhere. Just everyone's a smart in Philly forever. They just saw the ECW shit. They know wrestling. So you get a pop in Philly. It's a real deal. So you can kind of take that and go anywhere. The ECW guys versus the Wyatts was a dope match.
Very good match. Felt like the write-off for the ECW guys, though.
Yeah.
Minus the Dudleys.
Definitely, but I think that was the way to go. That Extreme Rules match back in Philly, coming through it. Like, damn, that match was exciting to me. I like that. Only bad match was probably the Charlotte all night. I liked everything.
No,
else.
There was that Ryback-Tad match, which...
Oh, yeah.
Del Rio, yeah.
Get them the hell out. I mean, Ryback is horrible.
Yeah.
But I like Del Rio. Not this time around necessarily, but we'll see. We'll see where his character goes. Him versus Cena in a real match and not like a stupid super
kick. Not
the
8-minute match where I'm writing off and getting out of here.
that will be probably a good rivalry.
I can see that at the Rumble maybe.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I like Rusev. So
eventually we're getting the wedding between Rusev and Lana.
Oh, that'd be great.
And weddings always draw
ratings. Yeah, someone's going to crash
the wedding.
Someone's
going to crash the wedding. Who could it be?
That'd be dope.
Not Ziggler, I hope.
Ziggler looks like that's another thing we got. We got KO just coming in and wrecking stuff.
That's right.
Wrecking people.
Angry KO.
Angry KO, which is the best KO. Didn't have to say anything. Wrecked Ambrose. Wrecked Ziggler. And it looks like we're headed to a triple threat match at the Rumble, which would be cool.
hopefully, they do it at the Rumble. Nothing's really resolved.
And then carry it over?
Carry it over into Mania and make it a ladder match. Triple threat ladder match. Because KO is amazing in ladder matches. We have Ziggler who will do damn near anything. Even though I don't like his finisher.
I think the ladder match we reserved for Money in the Bank, no? They've been doing that.
Triple
threat?
Did
they have one last year? At Mania?
They did for the IC title.
No, oh, that's right. It was an IC title match.
Daniel Bryan won.
That's right.
So I want the same thing, but I want it to be against three people.
Just three.
I want to see Ambrose because Ambrose got thrown. He got powerbombed through a ladder last year. I want to see it again. So, I mean, those three in a ladder match at Mania, and there's a precedent for it. I'd love it. I mean, so that's a good angle for them. Let the League of Nations go off. Like I said, I wouldn't mind them versus the Wyatts. Neither are doing anything right now.
Yeah, what do you do with the Wyatts now?
You got to start splitting them up, right? Like Harper
at least
and Rowan
twos,
have to go into tag teams. Team. I think they built up Strowman to feed him to The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
As a go-away match, in which I wouldn't mind if it's like a casket match. It has to be a gimmick. But if he can bury, you know, this unbeatable big-ass giant. Ryan hated this idea, by the way. When Ryan was sitting exactly where you were sitting, he was like, oh, my God. I was telling people
Taker
this.
Taker and Strowman?
Yeah.
I don't like that either.
I forgot the giant guy that he fought at, like, WrestleMania.
Giant Gonzalez?
Yeah, Giant Gonzalez. They're like, it's another Giant Gonzalez match. I was like, oh, shit, it might be. But making a casket match, we're fine.
I don't. If this is really Taker's last match, I wouldn't Taker Cena.
A lot of people want that. But he got to win.
Taker has to win?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah. Yes, it's Romania.
You want to make Cena a heel, right? Let Cena pin Taker in Texas.
You think he's a heel if he pins Taker?
I think if you can.
People already hate him. They're just going to hate him more with his stupid ass gimmicky.
You can take the right
steps
in that match to make him a heel. I think you can. Cena can fight dirty and win that match.
Oh, that'd be rough. It's going to take a lot to make Cena a heel. If Cena would have broke the streak,
oh yeah, that would have done it.
But now the mystique is gone. Now it's just you're being Taker, old man.
Well,
Taker.
No. What would you say is bigger? Knowing that this is Taker's last match or breaking the streak?
Breaking the streak, hands down.
All right.
Hands down. If Cena would have broke the streak, dirty, like knocked out the ref or something.
Uh-huh. Cheated to win.
Just amazing.
Yeah, maybe. Because it didn't really make Lesnar a bigger heel, per se.
No, not at all. It made him go down in history, though.
It didn't make him a face either.
No, it didn't
right
make
away.
Him anything. It just made him larger than life, which is crazy because now he doesn't even have, like, a mold anymore. They broke the mold
with that. They broke the mold, yeah.
He was just larger than life. He's just unbeatable.
And now he's just he's a different level. He's just a special attraction. Where
he's nothing. Yeah, he's just – he's like King Kong. You don't know what to do with that guy. But Cena, you could have made him a heel. If the authority – if Vince himself – when it came down and hit Taker and Cena pinned him, and Cena was like Mr. Company guy, like The Rock,
well,
like The Rock's heel
what
turn.
What if you do that now? What if you pair Cena with Triple H and McMahon?
Oh, shit. People would hate him. Easy. Hands down. Because everyone always thinks Cena's up McMahon's ass anyway.
And
it'd be confirmation.
And you need a heel. You need heels.
You do need heels.
And
he'd be the ultimate
he'd be
heel.
He'd be the biggest heel since
Kids
Hollywood Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah. Hollywood Hogan, Corporate Rock. That's how you do it.
I want that now. I want Corporate Cena.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because Corporate Cena, you could still have Corporate Cena do the kid stuff.
Yeah.
It's part of, you know, suit and gimmick, you know, but he would still be.
But he has to wrestle in, like, slacks or some shit. Like, no more jean shorts. Like, you got to make him full heel. Like, you got to make him unbearable.
Dress shoes.
Oh, God. Just come out the full nine. Kind of like what Corporate Kane tries to be.
Yeah.
But, like, real deal.
All right, I'm all in on Corporate Cena.
And, like, Mr. McMahon is his valet.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Like, all the time. Oh, amazing. And just give him all the belts. I wanted him to be a two-time, like, United States champion and heavyweight champion. Just make it unbearable.
Yeah.
Full heel.
All right, I'm all in.
That's what we need in 2016.
I'm all in on Corporate Cena.
So, Reigns is our champion, though.
He is.
Finally. He went over last night, punched Mr. McMahon in the face. That was good. Huge pop. do you see him being the face of the company, or do you think this is like we're just giving him a shot, see how it works, and it's not going to work, and we'll move on? Because Finn is coming sooner or later. There's nothing better or bigger than Finn Balor.
Yeah, I could see him holding the belt between now and Mania, for sure. In terms of face of the company, I still think as long as Cena's around, he's going to be the face. I think he's a better talker, a better ambassador for the product than Reigns. But this is good. He's finally getting the shot, and give him time to fail. You know, if he doesn't get the reaction you want 1 week, well, wait another week and see what happens. And you really can't cater your product towards the IWC because there's such a small percentage of people who are actually watching Raw. The kids like Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's true.
And the kids want him as champion. And unfortunately, the product is not for us as adults. The product is for kids. We have our own wrestling product to enjoy and ROH and New Japan. That's more for adults, but this is not for us. It's for kids. So I think a lot of wrestling fans do forget that. They're writing for kids, not writing for adults. So Roman Reigns is the perfect kid champion.
No, definitely. Until they get an action hero who looks like Spider-Man and paints his face.
Yes.
And wears a whole bunch of, you know, dope, like little fake dreads and stuff. And they can all have it. And Finn will be the champion next time we talk, this time next year. Or he'll be ready. He'll be making that Royal Rumble push.
Between him and Connor, the two Irish.
They're not here to take part. They're here to take
Irish
over.
Two Irish champions. You think they know each other?
They have to at this point. Have to. Becky Lynch cut a promo and took Connor's whole thing. We're not here to take part. We're here to take over. I'm sure they all know each other.
Yeah, if I'm WWE, I would get those two, them down.
That's a Mania moment.
Yes, it would be. Actually, that would be their Rousey moment from this year. Would have Connor
come out
with Finn.
With Finn.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Connor's star is now
huge.
Huge. So having him involved in Mania, and I don't know. I think he's a wrestling fan. Connor.
I don't see why he wouldn't be. There's only so much stuff going on in Ireland.
He's mentioned it, I believe, in the past. So
now that'd be huge.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, you debut. Or even if you don't want, have Connor just come to Mania, have, like, the Wyatts jump him, all four of them, and then just show up the next night on Raw, and you debut Finn.
Yeah.
And you just say, you know what? Bray, and Connor can talk, obviously.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
some shit to Bray Wyatt. Say, I'm not scared of anybody. I knocked out Aldo.
Well,
I knocked out.
Let's see if Dana allows us. Because
yeah, and then he'd be like, I have someone who's better than you. And then the lights just dim. You hear the heartbeat. And Connor's wearing the UFC title. That'd be the best shit ever. They need us to book this show. Anyway, our show is almost done. I'd like to thank Marcus for coming down from Cali and, you know, taking a break from this little vacation in the holidays to come talk with us.
Yeah, man.
And drop some knowledge, man. You know,
I had to make sure to plug the podcast, because last time I was on the show, I forgot to plug it.
Yes, please, plug
and,
everything.
I got in trouble with my co-host.
Yes, everything.
So, the Kings of Sport, you can listen to us at thekingsofsport.podbean.com. It's a show I do with myself and Nate Milton. We do it every week. Drops usually on Friday or Saturday. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
An amazing podcast, if I say so myself. If you guys follow me on Twitter, I retweet their stuff, and I'm always listening to it and finding little funny stuff, because I feel like Marcus is like the most passive-aggressive guy in the world. Like, if he doesn't like something, he'll say it in the nicest of ways, and then you just be like, wait, that was kind of asshole-ish, but you'll just never know.
Listen, Nate's not in on the joke yet. We've been doing the show for almost 3 years, and I feel like Nate hasn't caught on yet. So,
so I just always find myself laughing about it. So thanks, Marcus, for joining us. Andreas will be back sooner or later. You know, he is an old man traveling the world. I think he's in San Diego enjoying brunch as we speak, getting pedicures, and everything else that he likes to indulge in his old
Ratchet
age.
TV, brunch, video games, hip-hop.
That's it. Wearing a Nakamura t-shirt.
Twitter beefs.
And a New Day, like a little stupid unicorn horn. Chilling, getting his foot rubbed. By someone in a salon. He doesn't even go to like a nail shop for his pedicures.
No.
He goes to like the Bellagio salon. That's where Andreas is right
Bougie
now.
Bougie Dre.
Bougie Dre. Oh, yes. I think you just created a hashtag. If I got to have Goddamn Mikel t-shirts.
There you go.
We got to have Bougie Dre t-shirts. Where it's just him with like a mimosa getting his nails done. we're going to make
someone
it
Photoshop
happen.
That.
ASAP. So, once again, thank you guys for listening. Follow everything concerning the podcast on Instagram, Twitter, everything. It's The Corner LSN. You can follow me at Kel Dansby on every platform, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. I promise you I'm entertaining. And look out, because I'm dropping the special awards episode of The Corner podcast very soon. Either it'll be up this weekend, like Friday. If it takes a little longer than that, it'll be our show for next Tuesday. But I promise you it's worth the wait. We will have all of our awards for this past year, some crazy ones, trying to be a little bit different. And we have special surprises. For right now, though, we're out.
Later. I wish I could keep this feeling. On the corner, private, killing, dying, just to make a living. We overstated, we underrated, we educated. The corner was our time when time stood still in gators and snakeskins and yellow and